Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The Bible says salvation is of the Lord. When it comes to each individual believer's story, heaven will reveal that God wrote the book from beginning to end. Today, some final thoughts on the meaning of predestination. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a series on the inheritance of the redeemed, gifts given to every believer in Christ. Listen now as Dr. Lutzer speaks again on the gift of predestination.
So first of all, we have to see that God takes the initiative in salvation. Secondly, very important now, God works through the human will. God works through the human will. When we preach on matters of choosing and predestination, we should never give the impression that God says, now, you don't want to believe, but boy, you're predestined to believe, so I'll take you by the scruff of the neck and you believe. No. Nor does the scenario ever happen where someone says, oh, I want to be saved, but I'm not elect. That never happens. Why? God works in the human heart to bring about his purpose, so people voluntarily receive Christ as Savior, but behind that voluntary decision, there is God who has birthed conviction in their hearts. He's shown them their sin. He's shown them why they need Jesus, and then he even gives them the faith by which they need to believe. He does it all. Amen. Boy, I'm hearing one or two amens. I could take three or four, actually. You see, it's really all of God. God is the one, you know, who does it. I think a beautiful example of that is Lydia in the 16th chapter of Acts, when Paul and Silas and so forth went to Philippi. It says that they went to the river and they met a businesswoman, a seller of purple goods, whose name was Lydia, now catch this, whose heart God opened. And then it says she listened carefully to what Paul says, and then she was baptized. Well, obviously she believed the gospel, or she'd have never been baptized. That's a good example. There's some of you to whom I'm speaking today, and even while I am speaking, though you're having problems with some of the things that are taught in God's word, you might find that your heart is open to God. Even now, listen to that voice, because it is God that opens the human heart. And you and I can't do that on our own. And this leads, I think, also to a very important fact. Of course, whosoever will may come. Of course, if God has worked in your heart, you can come. Whosoever, many are called, this is a general call, few are chosen, but many are called and few are chosen, and you can find out whether or not you're among the chosen. So don't complain. I know you've got all kinds of questions about the unchosen, but I'm talking to you now, and I want you to understand that if you want to know whether or not you are chosen, predestined, that you are within the will and the purpose of the eternal God who grants life to those who believe, well, then find out. Come to Jesus, and he will receive you, and he will welcome you into his kingdom, because whosoever will may come, certainly. I think that old illustration that has been used many times is actually a very good illustration. That as the gospel goes out across the door and the entry point, it says, whosoever will may come. After you go through and you go through that door and you receive Christ, you look back and you'll notice that at the back of that door are written the words elect from the foundation of the world. So the invitation goes to everyone. The reason that I take delight in reading testimonies of how people came to saving faith in Christ is that each story is different. Each circumstance is different. Each person approaches it differently. But at the end of the day, it always comes out the same, that people see their sin, they see their need, and they see as Jesus meeting their need because he died for sinners. Let's take a few people. Let's take a couple of famous people. Let's take Martin Luther, for example. Here he is. He's struggling so much with his guilt and his heaviness. And he said, "Day and night I pondered to try to see the connection between the righteousness of God and faith," because he was troubled by the righteousness of God. "If God wasn't so righteous, I might be able to meet his standards. But he's so holy, he's so righteous, I can't meet those standards." That's what frustrated him. Till he said, "I saw the connection. That there is not just the attribute of God, the righteousness of God. There is a gift of God given to those who receive it by faith." And he said, "When I saw this," he said, "it was as if I was reborn and I went through the gates of paradise. The struggle was over. The conscience was silenced. Jesus was now meeting his need. O Lord Jesus, I am thy sin. Thou art my righteousness. I accept that." And he was converted. Let's take another theologian. His name is John Calvin, lived in Geneva. Calvin said that God overcame his blindness and his darkness and showed him the light of the gospel. That's one way to describe it. And if you would like to have somebody who emphasized free will and find out their story, John Wesley said that he had no assurance of salvation until someone was reading Luther's preface to the book of Romans, where the gospel is clearly presented. And he said that he found his heart strangely warmed. And he said to himself, "I do believe in Christ. I do believe." And he grasped that, "I do believe." And that was the point at which he had the assurance that he belonged to God forever. Everyone's story is different. As you know, I usually witness to somebody on the plane who's sitting next to me, not all the time, but almost all the time. I would have no idea of the number of people to whom I've explained the gospel on the plane. Most of them receive it graciously. We interact, and I've not led many people to Christ at all. I think that I see myself as helping them along the way, and other people are going to reap where I have sown, and so I leave those results with God. But this past fall, I was flying in from God knows where. After a while, the flights blur just a little bit, but I know that I was coming from the east to Chicago. And I sat beside a businessman who knew all about gold and silver and which one was going to go up and which one was going to go down. And he had many clients. He had people working for him, under him. Well, we got into the gospel. When I asked him, "Where are you on your spiritual journey?" Turns out that he goes to church and all the right things, but clearly he does not know the gospel. I explain it to him. And he asks some questions, and I answer them, and then he says, "I want to tell you today," he said, "I really get what you're saying." He said, "I understand what it is that you are telling me." Now, I should have prayed with him there on the plane. I actually didn't. I entrusted that to the Holy Spirit. But after we got off the plane at O'Hare, we still connected together, and he said, "I want you to know that I got what you were saying." He said, "I understood what you were saying." And of course, I gave him a good book that would help him carry himself through the door with the help of Jesus, of course. And actually the scooping up of Jesus, which is a better metaphor of salvation. And I expect to see him in heaven. I've explained it to many people, and they just don't get it. Why God? Why Jesus? I'm not that bad a sinner. I'm a good person. Just dawned on me. All the people I've talked to, I don't think I've yet met a bad person. I really don't. Everybody's a good person. And they have no sense of conviction, no sense of their need for God, no sense of interest in Jesus. They just don't get it. But as we sow the seed, we find people like that businessman who told me twice, "Just want you to know, I get what you're saying." Is that where you are at today? I hope that there are people who are right now saying, "I get it. I need a Savior." And if you say that, that means that God is working in your heart to bring you to saving faith. And all of our trust, all of our eggs are in one basket. All of our trust is in Jesus, and Jesus alone, the only Savior of the world. Do you know him? Do you get it? Let's pray together. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that your word might go out in such a way that people across this nation who are listening to this message and here in the sanctuary of Moody Church may say to themselves, "I get it," and believe the gospel, and thereby prove that they were chosen, they were predestined, they were part of your will and part of your plan from all of eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I want you to listen carefully. This is the first in a series of messages titled The Inheritance of the Redeemed. And this message on predestination, it's a doctrine, of course, which in the minds of many people is controversial, is one that should drive us to worship God, to realize that salvation is entirely of the Lord. But yes, we can find out whether or not we are predestined. We can find out whether or not we are elect, and that's why I ended this message with an invitation for you to personally come to Jesus Christ and prove that you were part of his plan from before the foundation of the world. So right where you are, you may be driving a car, you may be in your office, I don't know where you are listening to this, but right now you can receive Christ as Savior. If God has worked in your heart and you see your need, you say, "Today, I believe in Jesus. I believe that he died for me, and I receive his gift of eternal life." And if you've done that, would you let us know? Simply go to our website, moodymedia.org. That's moodymedia.org. And when you go there, you will see a contact button. Let us know that this blessing has come to you, the blessing of salvation, as a result of this ministry. It would be a great encouragement to us. And by the way, thanks to the many of you who support the ministry of Running to Win, because of this, we can share the gospel of Jesus Christ with tens of thousands. Next time, our series continues, and it's going to be on the gift of righteousness.
The standard God sets for us to gain eternal life is very high. That's why he's given every believer a gift in which he imparts the very purity he demands. Next time, all about this marvelous gift. The Inheritance of the Redeemed is an 8-part series we'd like you to have on CD. We'll send it as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.